What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 63 of Value Town. I'm Chan Man V, and joined today with Noxious and Yakov.
Yep. Yeah.
Everybody's like going crazy in the chat because Yakov's on the show. It's been a long time since we've had you on, man. How you been doing?
Oh, me?
Yeah,
I'm doing great. Thanks you very much for asking. I've been doing fine. Could be better, could be worse, but overall, above average.
So, are you still living off of those ATLC wins? Are you still, like, feeding off
of the ATLC? Dude, I'm so low maintenance, I could just survive on spaghetti every day.
I love you. I love you, dude, this is perfect.
Yeah.
No, like,
I'm probably set for life with those ATLC winnings.
Oh, this is great. I like to hear that, though. I like to hear that, because, you know, some people sometimes go a bit crazy with their winnings. They end up going out and popping it on champagne. They not remotely
care about. Who in gaming really does that, all right? We're not talking about freaking pro
players, league players. Dude, come on. Let's be real.
Seriously?
Anybody with Hearthstone players actually does excess. Like
seriously, people go and blow it.
There's some Hearthstone players that do excess stuff.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I just want to say gambling, debt.
Okay, gambling.
Too.
Oh, okay.
Are we good?
Oh man. Okay. All right. Touche. That's fair. No, Noxious. How you doing, man? How's the little one?
Yeah, pretty good, man. He's a little bit difficult these days, fussy, but you know that's what a baby does. So I'm not too worried.
Yeah, you're going to be sleep-deprived for a few more months, so get used to it.
Noxious can witness a baby rage firsthand now.
Absolutely. I've been thinking of making, like, baby rage streams, like having a baby cam, right next to mine.
Not bad.
Just for the fun of it. But I'm like, you know, there's only so far you can monetize something on Twitch without looking like a complete scumbag. So I was like, if I monetize my kid, I think that's the end of my integrity career. Like, it's over.
Oh,
that's
man.
It.
You should create an emote with your baby's face instead.
That's true.
To create a new baby rage emote, that'd be awesome. All right, guys, today we've got some cool topics of our week in Hearthstone, just what we've been doing. Probably gonna be talking some Tavern Brawl in there, just because the new one is pretty funny. Events, obviously, there's like three events this past week, all very different, so we'll talk about that and just some of the meta going on there. Elky ghosting was a topic, a little bit of drama during the week. Harassment, Hafu was featured in a video by, was it Fusion? I think it was Fusion, right? That did a video on her that was pretty interesting. Talked about harassment, so I figured we would talk about it with, you know, just E-Cup, our guest, too. And then viewer Q&A, you guys can post your questions tweet your questions to ValueTownGG, and we'll try to get to as many as we can at the end of the show. All right, let's start off with our week in Hearthstone. So what have you guys been doing this week in Hearthstone? Anything cool? Any decks you've been playing that have been interesting?
Well, on ladder, I've been trying out some funky, you know how Grinder Mage was very good against something like Warrior for a while. I've been trying out kind of a weird tweak, like a tweak on it, where you can also polarize your deck and beat the aggro stuff as well. Mm-hmm. Like it runs stuff like Jeweled Scarabs and everything. The problem is the game is all about mid range, so it just sucks. If I run into anything that runs anything remotely mid-rangey, even tempo mage, it's just a complete disaster. So yeah, it was fun of an experiment, but they didn't succeed.
Yeah. Ikop, how about you, man?
Oh, I've just been really busy playing in a lot of tournaments those past weeks and in the weeks come as well. So there's a lot of tournaments coming up. After all, Ekops and everything. So gotta keep up with that tournament schedule. Some of those tournaments we will actually talk about today.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah, we'll definitely get to it. For me, I've just been giving off again. I mean, I've actually been playing a little bit of Paladin, which I said I would never do, but it's not secret Paladin, so just
if
playing
it's Murloc, it's not any better.
It's not Murloc either.
Oh, okay.
Either.
You got me.
It's
that's
just
good.
more tokenish and, you know, just the whole Inspire thing, basically.
Oh, that's
it's
cool.
It's fun. It's definitely fun. It actually does decently get secret, surprisingly. So it's been just discovering some things with it has been a lot of fun. All right, Tavern Brawl, guys. So Noxious, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about last week's Tavern Brawl, which was basically your hero was Taunt, and you thought it was alluding to some, you know, maybe some new mechanic or some type of card. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. So, Ikop, did you play it at all in the last Tavern Brawl?
I usually play Tavern Brawl a reasonable amount, but that was actually one of those few Tavern Brawls that I haven't touched at all. I played like two games, but I didn't even manage to win one game, so that was kind of unfortunate.
No pack for you. But like, no, basically, for those of you who might not know what it is or who even do, like, basically what happened is your hero had taunt. And what that meant is he was on parity with any other taunt minion, so that if you played a taunt minion, they could decide to attack either the taunt minion or you. The problem with that brawl, obviously, is that it incentivizes a lot of face damage, but... The idea is you want to be using, you know, cards that have cool effects, like, let's say, Nat Pagel. That's a really weak example. And you're protecting him with your health pool. So your hero is defending Nat Pagel, and you're supposed to get that cool card draw. And the idea is nice. I like the concept. However, in a, you know, game where silence exists, it's it's irrelevant. Like, it's just, it's completely useless. And if anything, it makes dying faster against decks like, you know, Aggro Shaman, even mid-range decks that just punish you.
So, yeah, cards like cards that have taunt, for example, also become obsolete. Blizzard clearly took inspiration from that famous Smorg song, "If the face plays taunt, we still go face."
Exactly. Right? That's good.
Yeah, I dabbled a little bit in it. Some people told, I don't know who it was who said it, but someone came up with like animated armor that should be really good in that format,
yeah,
I suppose.
It was, yeah.
Like animated armor and Wii Spellstopper just to protect the animated armor. That's supposed to be pretty good. But I don't know.
It barely worked. Like, when it worked, it was all right. The problem is if they just killed the Wii Spellstopper and wrecked your animated armor and you didn't get, you know, the duplicate or Echo of Medivh, you're dead. Like, it... It was fun, but unfortunately, the only thing I drew from this brawl, basically, is I think Blizzard is experimenting with the idea of giving, say, warriors a protection feeling to them, like a weapon that's only active on your opponent's turn, and, you know, it's like a shield. And basically, what it does is it gives your hero taunt, so that you can actually protect minions that you care about. I don't know if that's the case, but it definitely would make sense from a mechanics perspective to give protection classes maybe a bit more of a defensive... ability.
Wait, so you think it's a weapon? Okay, so it's just an added text to a weapon. Okay.
Yeah, maybe there's something we'll see in the future. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, new expansion coming up, so they must... It's like that Discover stuff came about just before a League of Explorers.
That's right.
I remember
that
role.
Yeah. Yeah, that's actually a good... that's a good observation there. So if it does, then we can point to this episode and Noxious the Soothsayer. So the new one, the new Tavern Brawl is even funnier, which is every minion has charge, which is probably all of our nightmares, our nightmare
series
in Hearthstone. So Magma Ragers, I mean, what are we talking about here, guys?
Lepernome.
Lepernome, okay, Lepernome.
I mean, it's just it's so many cards just make you want to gouge your eyes out with that feature. However, I feel like Death Rattle minions just get better, right?
Yeah,
yeah, for
don't
sure.
forget, Warzone Commander finally is playable again, so that's something Blizzard actually probably wanted to do. Like, hey, guys, look at us. We finally made a mode that makes Warzone Commander viable.
Yeah, that you can even make Raid Leader playable, too. It's like another Warzone Commander, and then you just like have this crazy deck with OP cards.
Raid Leader. Wow. Raid Leader meta. Raid Leader and Warzone Commander meta. Wow. That's going to be amazing, I guess.
I can't wait for like that Iron Beach Owl, Bestial Wrath. Like, it's just the weakest stuff.
Yeah, anyways, you guys that are, you know, Tavern Brawl fans, go give it a try. It always starts when Value Town's on the air. Or at least maybe a few, like 30 minutes or an hour before the Value Town starts. So there's always something, or at least the Tavern Brawl is always a topic that we cover, at least most of the weeks. Yeah. But very, very cool. I wish they'd still do something with Tavern Brawl. It's like with this whole, all these changes coming out, I wish they would just add... I don't know, a leaderboard or something to Tavern Brawl and Arena. Since, again, this seems to be an iteration for them to make whatever changes they want. You think they'll do that, like, in the near future
I'd love them to. Like, jeez. I've talked about this before, because, like, at some point, I remember the first Brawl they ever made, Ragnaros versus Nefarian.
Yeah.
I got to, like, 150 wins or something. Like, I don't even remember what it was, but, like, across accounts, it was just a ridiculous amount. And I was like, that's great, but wait... No one can ever know. So it was like I'll never remember this beyond, you know, memories. So it was a bit unfortunate that it didn't exist. But it's like Arena, right? There's very little tracking of your achievements.
Unfortunately, if there was, probably more people would play it and it would be more respected as a format.
Yeah.
I personally think Arena and as well Tavern Brawl as well, honestly, has the potential to become a competitive format and. Mm-hmm. it just needs a little bit more of a push from Blizzard's side to push towards a competitive direction. Just make a ladder for it. Like really, like, people wouldn't really mind if it was ladder.
I mean, it doesn't take much. I mean, we don't have to go like full out ladder for any of those. All we need is just a little indication as to like what people who are really good at that format are doing, you know, just to, I don't know, just to have some kind of measuring stick or something to even play the format more, like Tavern Brawl, for instance. I mean, I know it's like supposedly the cat, or just people think of it just as the casual mode, but you know, there's some people really like it. Yeah, there's some. I mean, what's wrong with like seeing if somebody can get 100 wins or something, or like having that publicized? That would be kind of neat, right? There's nothing. Yeah. I don't think it's anything negative about it.
I like it, but it's just, it depends on the brawl. And of course, I mean, if it became competitive, of course, you'd never see the, you know, the wonky decks come out of this for the most part, unless there's like an MMR system, same thing as everything else.
Yeah.
But I feel like it would all boil down to, you know, Hearthbone net decks for your
Oh my God, how quick would that be? Oh my gosh.
We're taking like exactly
it would take a long time though, honestly, to find out the perfect deck.
The optimal deck? Okay,
perfect decks, because usually there is... To every meta, there is like one really good deck, and then like a couple of tier two decks. Some of them are countering that tier one deck. So I think in general, any format, any kind of innovation, be it in our regular tournament formats or in like being a completely new format like Tavern Brawl or Arena, any kind of innovation just provides. The skill cap necessary for the best player to come out on top, in my opinion.
Given a really large sample, it's just like Tavern Brawl is so short, I guess.
Well, it's good
if they kept bringing it back, it's fun, because then the metagame had, like, you go back to the old meta of the same Tavern Brawl that they played, let's say, you know, 2 months ago, they gave you a brawl and then they bring it back. Now you're like, wait, what was the deck that was played back then that was so good? Now I have to beat that or improve upon it. So that'd be pretty nice.
No, I mean, one of the things about Tavern Brawl, the way it is, I actually like it that it's short, because a lot of people are always talking about, you know, changing, you know, having the meta change, right? And that's how going through this deck taking phase and things like that. Well, Tavern Brawl is like deck taking every single week. So it'd be, you know, it's kind of cool if we could, I don't know, just highlight some of the people that are actually good at it. Whether it's just like folks that we do know in the, you know, the pro, just the competitive scene that we, you know, right now on the ladder, or if it's you know, somebody new, who knows, or just happens to be good at this type of thing, you know?
Like, yeah, the problem with that is though that you need people that take this seriously, and there's no reason to take Tavern Brawl seriously at the moment. So when Tavern Brawl came out, there's been like tournaments for Tavern Brawl as well, but that didn't really catch on. There was like no big supporter of it, so unless there's like big support, be it from Blizzard's side or any other organizer,
I actually forget what the format was like. If you did a tournament for Tavern Brawl, what does it actually look like? Because you can't. Can you play each other with your own Tavern Brawl?
Well, of course, yeah.
You can challenge friends. Okay, with your Tavern Brawl deck. I've never done that. So.
Yeah. It's great. Yeah, but only in Tavern Brawl, of course. Once the Tavern Brawl is gone, then it's
Yeah. Okay, the fact that you can do that is pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all it really takes is just a big tournament, like a big organization doing a tournament. I don't think it was a huge organization.
Archon Brawl!
Yeah, seriously. If Archon did it, I don't know, Tempest Storm did it or whoever did it,
it
would become something.
Like that.
That's all it takes, guys. It just takes the community making it something at
That's
times.
True, though. It is true.
I mean, like Arena. So we're going to bring up Arena, right? The whole 110 thing is like the only thing going on in Arena. And I actually think it's a cool thing. You guys, I don't know, seem to be a little bit like split
jaded.
On whether it's jaded.
Oh, that's just straight up impossible.
It's not impossible. Come on. Somebody will do it.
If it's like basically the same thing as winning the lottery, then it's if you consider that possible, then
so
sure.
It is like what Ika is saying, and that's pretty much why I get excited over it. But the thing is, the players who succeeded this are likely to be, you know, the greatest phenomenal Arena players that exist, and they already take every single run they make or they take seriously, right? Like they just take it seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the only added challenge here is not the amount of wins you need to get, because that's something you would strive for anyway. You'd still try to get those wins. The challenge is different classes. Like, in truth, the challenge is more like not the 9-class challenge. It's like it's got almost nothing to do with I don't know.
The challenge can be whatever you want it to be. So yeah, that could be a challenge. Or the next challenge is who can get the most with 9 wins. But what's interesting with this is that it's actually like a stake in the ground instead of just leaderboard, right? There's actually a stake in the ground and who can accomplish a feat. And I think it's great because what do we have in Arena? Like we're just talking about Tavern Brawl, right? There's like nothing for the Arena players to play for except for just the normal, card packs, yeah, right. Just being an infinite Arena player or just accruing gold or dust or card packs. But, you know, right now there's nothing there for it. So the 110 thing is the storyline for Arena. And I'm glad there is one, you know, because people are interested in it. Like whenever Hafu gets close or Ratsma gets close, everybody, you know, starts talking about it and watches it. And that's cool. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Like the community created this.
Like, sure, I mean, on that front, this, yeah, you're right. Right? You're correct. Like, I think it's, like, on that front, I think it's nice. I like that there's excitement building up around the Arena. Yeah. I just think overall, it's like, somebody must have done it already. We just don't know him or her. Because they're not
in the history of Arena, of course. I'm sure somebody's. Well, I don't know. Maybe.
No, it has surely happened.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's a statistical anomaly. It's a statistical disaster, even, you could say. But it might have happened with the amount of games that have been played, the amount of people who take it seriously.
You also keep in mind, like, you have to also pick different classes, and that means you eventually will have to play Warrior, and Warrior just blows. So
it's good now, though. It's all right now. It's pretty good.
It's okay, but the problem with the challenge is that, like, it could be better. Let's just say that. It could be better.
Yeah, of course.
I don't understand why you would have to stop after you cannot reach 110 anymore. Just play the complete 10 runs and see what score it is. Like, that's the first thing, in my opinion. Like, what's the point of stopping?
See, I kind of like that. I like the idea that you just play, you do 10 runs, you see how much you get.
You just do 10 runs and see how much you get. Exactly. That's way better. Because sometimes you could get, let's say, sure, you could get like a score of 80, but you can't. You would technically have to stop after your second run because you went like 2 and 3 in both runs.
You ended up having really crappy,
So you couldn't restart.
You'll never know how close you got.
You couldn't restart without reaching basically. It. Okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah. Also, what I also don't like is basically that it's the way how you have to do those class variations, right? It's basically also a lottery because you are allowed to repick the same class if you have like no other options of picking anything else, right?
I'd force you to retire until you get
exactly.
the one you have.
I don't just retire instead.
That would be impossible.
That would be a challenge for real.
you don't
count on that like quadruple paladin run.
Exactly. Like you cannot count on quadruple paladin or triple
I'm not
nation.
Remotely getting there anyway. Like it doesn't affect me one bit. I'm just saying the rules should actually force you to play all the classes. Like, if that's the spirit of the challenge, they should do that.
Well, I think that'll be the next one. I mean, that'll probably be the next iteration of this thing. But the first one, it's pretty hard. And
Amaz didn't put much thought into it. It's probably came up for fun off the top of his head. And he was like, yeah, sure, why not make this a challenge? And he challenged a bunch of people. I took the challenge as well. My first try, I got like 69 points.
Oh, did you? Oh, did you?
I got 420, bro.
I think it was like 69.
Okay.
But it's on my first try already, I realized how bad this challenge is and how impossible it actually is. So I never even bothered to like do it again.
Yeah, so that's what it's funny about. So Amaz was basically a bet between Amaz and just a bunch of other, you know, streamers and notable people. But how funny would it be if some random person just does it out of nowhere?
Somebody posted like evidence of it. I think
list of the leaderboard, right? It's like
no evidence. Yeah. Like the thing is, the challenge is you have to be streaming it or recording it. Mm-hmm. Not even recording, because recording you cherry pick the runs you want. You have to be streaming it. For it to count, and it's like, sure. And somebody came up, I think, on Reddit at some point and said, "Okay, you know, I did it, and here's, you know, he had a bunch of of evidence of it, but it wasn't streamed and it could have been manufactured. So it's like it's really tough to allow somebody who's not streaming or even has a rig to do it.
Yeah.
To compete in that. So I don't know. I don't know if it even matters, but it's just
it's limited to streamers.
Like, how did we get there? Yes. Different formats, that's right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we were going to talk about this, and then you guys started talking about it right before the show, so it's like, okay, let's just bring it up anyways.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, anyways, it'll be interesting to see when it happens, at least. Okay, well, moving on to events. There were quite a few events this past week, and let me move this pointer over. And why don't we start off with the North American prelims, you know, for the Hearthstone Championships. So Europe was last week, I believe, right? And this past week was North America. And anything notable for you guys? Did you guys watch it, like a lot of it? I tried to catch it here and there. I couldn't sit through like all of it because it was basically all weekend long. Anything notable that you guys want to mention?
Nothing really noteworthy for Europe. It was obviously the big story that none of the pro players, the known pro players, made it to the top eight. In America, some of them made it, some of them made it, some of them didn't, of course. So it's like a mixed field there. And I don't know about the Asian one that happened too this weekend. I haven't been watching that though. So.
Any interesting decks you see?
Yeah, the freeze mage from Fibonacci was cool for me. I loved the collateral Malagos freeze mage, which isn't exactly like what you see all the time. I think that like the casters seemed pretty dumbfounded by it when they saw it.
I mean,
it's not the most common thing to even see cold lights in that deck, but it's not completely unheard of. So,
to be fair, you cannot really say if it's just because it's different that it's actually better or worse because nobody else played it before. It's the games that have been played with the deck is just such a small sample size.
Yeah.
Same thing with Egg Paladin, right? That has been going on in the EU and NA. I personally think it's just a gimmick and not really worth looking at. Just a regular Secret Paladin is way better. But if you just change a couple of cards in a deck, keep the overall same strategy, it's not much is going to change regarding the consistency of the deck. So if you just put in Malagos and Coldlight into your freeze mage and keep the rest as it is, the same base, and same goes for Secret Paladin basically, then not much is going to change when it comes to the results of the deck. So it just looks cool, but I'm not sure if it's actually getting better just because of those additions of different cards.
Yeah, I mean, it just takes more matches to really see if it is. But it's something that at least we can talk about. I mean, do we want to talk about the same decks we've literally seen for months now? Because those decks were obviously there and dominating too. So right now, I guess, in the tournaments, Akop, what do you think is the dominant deck or the deck that everybody's playing?
Oh, everyone's just playing Druid and Paladin in Conquest. Yeah, just basically what's strong on ladder. So, Druid, Paladin, got your Patron Warrior as well. So those are the top three.
Patron, man.
And Warlock, of course. Warlock variations.
I kind of like that though. Like, I feel like the only issue we're running into as a player base, the only issue we're running into is that because of the content pacing, and we've talked about this before on the show, is like, it should be just one more release per year of content by Blizzard, and then we'd get somewhere. Because right now, like, the metagame gets figured out super quick. And you know how Druids are like these evergreen... It's the evergreen class, right? Like, it's there... Like, it's been there forever with the exact same toolkit. Like, it might change up the way it kind of does it a bit here and there, but overall it's like, okay, I have a deck. It's got Force of Nature, Savage Roar. What else do I shove in it? And then you just pick what tempo as well. Or in the case of Aggro Druid, what's biggest, depending on the meta. So I don't hate that Druid is always there, but it really does make it so dull when the metagame settles down, because he's always there to cornerstone the entire metagame. Like, at some point, he's going to be re-included because the metagame is too polarized, and he starts punishing everyone else, and then the metagame just shifts towards mid-range. And now you've got, what, Secret Pally? In other worlds, it's like Secret Pally, Tempo Mage, Midrange Druid, Patron Warrior nowadays being some kind of a tempo deck. So it's all like mid-range tempo. It's just getting
It's been like that for a long time now.
Whenever it settles, it's always that. Like, no matter what tempo deck or mid-range deck you talk about, like, Handlock has always been, Handlock's a tempo deck, right? It just drops big dudes starting on turn four, and then it never leaves you alone. So, I don't know. Rambling on, but...
Like, you liking that is very surprising.
I like the fact that we have, like, an understanding of that, like, that everything is tempo slash midrange. I don't like it as a gameplay thing. I just like that we understand how the metagame, like, settles every time. People are now finally realizing that, like, Hearthstone's gameplay is essentially the same. As soon as it settles down, the cool cards can't be played because they suck. Like, they just...
Yeah, this
fancy stuff doesn't work.
Yeah, I guess you're
saying. That's just... Yeah.
Exactly. See, this is the main problem that I have with that I had personally with the prelims is that sure, one of the main reasons, in my opinion, as well, why in Europe, for example, so many unknown, quote unquote, unknown players made it through, and none of the known pros. It's because once the metagame settles, there's always like this. A new set gets introduced, or there's like some sort of other innovation when it comes to a format. Something new gets introduced, then immediately the pros or the guys who start who dedicate a lot of time to the game, that spend a lot of time playing, they innovate the meta. They create the decks to beat, and then once the meta settles, like all the plebs come out of the woodwork and start copying the decks. They go to templestorm.com
plugging Templestorm. Yes,
a lot of people actually just even admitted that in the prelims that we didn't have time to test, so just copy paste decks from Templestorm.com and you're good to go. Top 8 prelims, A.
Well, so right?
It's basically my main gripe. It's that that there's not enough not enough frequent innovations in competitive Hearthstone. It's just so the meta gets to the point where just everyone can perform the same level, no matter how much time they dedicate to the game.
Yeah.
Like if they're a good player, if they're a legend player, and basically anyone who got top 100 legend at one point was able to qualify for this prelim. So
so
that's Blizzard's concept, right? Anyone can make it to the prelims if they have a good run on ladder or whatever. But in my opinion, the true skill of a player is determined by how well they can adapt.
The fly.
Yeah,
right.
That's how the skill shines through in a tournament formats, at least. Once the meta settles, it's all about the win rate, but. A win rate, it's only like 2 or 3% difference most of the time that distinguishes a good player from a very good player. And that kind of win rate difference doesn't really shine through in tournaments. It's just because of the small sample size of games played and all that stuff. So if you want to determine skill of players in tournaments, you have to have those new formats. You have to have innovation. That's the kind of field...
follow up on what you just said there, do you think Blizzard wants it to be like that? Do you think Blizzard wants basically ladder warriors to be, you know, just have equal opportunity, just have this parity that you're talking about for between all the players, whether you're notable players versus whether you're just an unknown and trying to make a name for yourself?
No, I mean, the model that Blizzard has is fine. I just think that frequent innovations would be more healthy for just the whole game in itself, right? Because the meta, everyone's complaining that the meta gets too stale too fast, and it's natural. If you have a game that's being played by 40 million people and a lot of people but even if it's just a small percentage, even if it's like only 1%, and it's still, wait, how much is it, like 400,000 players that take the game seriously. So, and obviously then the game, then the meta will, no matter how diverse it is at the start, it will get very stale very fast because the good decks are going to be discovered very fast. So the more frequent the innovations, the better it's going to be. Because if you have innovations every 6 months, like, for example, nerfs of cards or introduction of new sets, then it's just going to be too slow and everyone's going to start complaining after 3 months already.
Absolutely, so, yeah. That's the big issue we have right now, I think. And that really is just it. Content release is too slow. That's just, like, we consume way too much content way too quickly.
And they're trying to obviously improve that. I mean, or at least have big shakeups, you know, just in the beginning of the year so that we can have a place where there's at least a large amount of time where the meta is shifting and changing.
But as far as the skill goes, though, for the NA prelims, I'm happy that Fibonacci is there. You know, just want to put it out there. Fibonacci is kind of the player that, like, the unsung hero that everybody knows about. It's like this legend. You know, the guy you know is doing really good and he's beating all the pros, but who the hell is he? And now we actually got to see him a little bit more. Plus, the decks he brought were, you know, kind of out of the beaten path a bit. You know, he took some really cool archetypes, and aside from the Demon Handlock that didn't do too well, the rest did pretty good.
Well, I mean, he's famous for his warrior play, right? And
yeah,
he brought his Deathwing Warrior, which was really cool, with maybe one or two different cards, you know, that he changed for the tournament.
It's fun. I'm happy he's there.
I think it was a very deserved top eight for Fibonacci. He has accomplished so much on ladder these past days, and
number one,
ladder as well is like one of those metrics where you can determine a good player, because if a player consistently finishes top 10 in ladder, he's got to have a really good win percentage for that. And Fibonacci is exactly that kind of player. So definitely a very deserving very deserving finish for him, in my opinion.
Okay, well, why don't we move on to the next event? The Curse Trials. Curse Trials was obviously Archon and Curse's attempt to show us what an event would look like with some of the standard changes that are coming. Obviously, they don't have the basic and classic cards that are going to be changing. Blizzard has said that they're probably changed. But at least we get a sense with no, just Naxxramas and no GBG. One of the big things that came out of it, just Druid social. Like, almost everybody played Druid, I think, maybe except for Kibler. I think he might have been the only person that didn't play Druid.
I think he still brought it.
Did he bring it, but he just didn't play it much?
I don't know the
matches I saw of his, he didn't end up playing it. So
okay, must have missed it then. Never mind me.
Yeah, but what do you guys think of the event overall?
Go ahead, Ico.
Oh yeah, Curse Trials. Of course, the idea of having being the first big standard tournament is pretty good. Of course, Archon wants to jump right on it. Idea. Initially, it was supposed to be a different format. It was supposed to be no classic and basic cards, and just the rest, which would have been way more interesting, in my opinion, because everyone already knew beforehand what the meta game was going to look like in that tournament. A lot of Druid, and that's what we got, a lot of Druid.
No shit, you don't say.
God.
God. Archon wanted to get on that, because the thing is, initially, the format I thought was... Like, it was interesting what they initially had planned, and then they changed halfway through.
I'm really sad about that.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I think it would have been much more of a shakeup if they would have just gotten, done their original idea.
Yeah, but finally, you could have seen some cool GBG or TGT cards that have never been played, right?
But RIP GVG at least for standard in the next month or so. So I can understand why they did it, but
there were big flaws though, I think, in both formats, because I theorycrafted a lot of the initial format Curse Trials had, and it was going to be kind of boring. It was really just about play the big dudes, because nobody has BGH, and play Paladin because you have mini bot and muster. So it was like a little dull, to be honest. However,
What
we saw from this, though, like the entire Curse Trials, is Blizzard cannot have standard without changing the basic set. Like, you simply can't. And I mean, changing, not just modifying slightly, one or two cards that we don't think are viable or should be in the game, just gutting it, or at least a lot of it.
Yeah. And we talked about it last week.
It was nice. It was a nice experiment, I guess. Mm-hmm.
It has to happen eventually that the classic format, that the classic and basic cards are gone from standard, just to have some sort of diversity in the standard formats, in the standard metas to come in the following years. But in order to do that, they just need to have more expansions, like more cards in those expansions. If not more expansions, then just more cards in those expansions.
Right.
So just to have a bigger card pool to work with.
Mm-hmm.
More packs.
Yeah, more packs. Yeah, absolutely. No, but overall, I think the Turf Trials went well. I mean, we did see the finals was actually pretty exciting and epic, and we actually saw Warrior at the end, which was really cool. I know Varian Wrynn was being played, so people were waiting for Varian Wrynn to actually have an impact, and when we got a chance to see it towards the end. But yeah, overall, it was just like Druids and Dragon Priests and Aggro Shaman. I think those are probably the three most popular. Actually, I have the win rates here. Let me show you the win rates real quick.
I'm gonna bet Druid is doing just fine, because the thing is, we have to understand the Druids, like, because of, and is this strictly because of Innervate, Force of Nature, Savage Roar? Strictly because of this, they never got a good card, like, aside from TGT with like the Aspirant. They were given like Mech Bearcat, Recycle, Volcanic Lumber. Like, I mean, they got a few decent cards of recent memory in TGT. That's where Ben Bros said, you're gonna love what we give you, but prior to that, it was basically, okay, let's not give them anything because we don't want to. They don't need anything more. Yep, and let them borrow from the neutral pool with what they've already got. So,
I mean, the cards in themselves were not really that bad, but just compared to the sickness that they have in the classic set, and just compared to that, it just doesn't
compare. To match, right? You can't compete.
They were arena ads for the most part, I think. But yeah, there were some of the cards that were added were solid, but just never played. I mean, the whole beast, right? The whole beast Druid. Still,
I love it, man. Still hasn't been a thing. So much, dude.
Malorn. You ever going to play Malorn, man?
It needs to work one day.
One of these days. Actually, Malorn's gone, isn't it? It's actually gone in GBG. So never mind. Malorn's just off.
Forever BGH.
Yeah, forever BGH, right. Okay, let's see. The next event, our last event that happened was the G2 Class Legends. And this one was a single class format. So you can imagine which class was played a lot, which Druid was played quite a bit. Life Coach ended up winning it. And I mean, anything to really talk about this? Like, what do you think about a single class type of format or event?
Yeah, I actually played in a tournament. Yeah. It was a lot of fun, I think. The concept of having only one class at your disposal, in my opinion, you could also limit it to just one deck. But yeah, that is a little bit boring to watch.
One deck would be even worse, sometimes. I think, yeah.
And even with like two decks at your disposal, often enough it would just come to one deck versus one deck. So yeah, for spectating purposes, it can be a little bit boring, but I think from a player's perspective, it's actually a lot of fun. And
How often did you switch up your deck?
It all depends on the class you play against, basically, right? You have to have a game plan going into this. Like against this class, this deck will be more favored, and against that class, the other deck. And sometimes you have to have both. You have to use both, so you have to switch it up during the match as well.
Which class did you play?
I played Warlock, which was on par with Druid in terms of popularity. I think like five people brought Warlock, five people brought Druid or so, or 4-4, something like that. Every class was represented in the tournament as well, besides Shaman.
Shaman, I imagine, because mid-range, I don't think, was very appealing to people.
Yeah, it wasn't very flexible. You could have.
Yeah, like Oskaka brought Mage, Zetalot brought Priest, Orange had Hunter, and Super JJ had Rogue, I think.
Interesting, and, of course.
Crane was Warrior, yeah. And something else, whatever. Doesn't even.
Yeah.
The poker guy was Paladin.
Okay. Yeah. I'll keep
the poker guy.
Mark Kennedy. Exactly.
Mark Kennedy. Yeah.
Yeah, that's his name.
Okay. I thought you were talking about Hockey for some reason.
So, yeah, a very diverse meta, even though you would. The most popular classes were Druid and Warlock. It's still a very diverse meta.
What do you think about that format if it was the standard format? For Hearthstone Championship. Not standard, but for like Hearthstone Championship, where they went, yeah.
Okay, wait, so you mean like rotation? Or
like for like a major tournament. Like if you ever had like a major tournament, how would you feel about this format instead of just
I even feel like having a format with where you can only play one deck, right?
Yeah.
Play one deck and have a best of three. You can even just have a best of three against another deck. I think that's actually a really fine format. But the tournament format in itself, it shouldn't be single elimination. it should be Swiss, and then like cut to date, whatever. That's classic like physical card games do it.
Yep.
And this is the best format for trading card games in general, trading card game tournaments. The time-tested format, right? And I think it would be a good addition to a Hearthstone tournament as well. Just play one deck, play it through a Swiss Gauntlet, and just have a good win rate with that deck. It's kind of like Ladder, and
You just get more games. Yeah, you get more samples with that deck.
You get a lot of games in. Yeah. If you get all, you need to do is have a good win rate, like on Ladder, and then you get the tournament feel at the end with a top eight. Where it's single elimination, and it's like a complete package, I would say. So a time-tested formula, I think it should exist more of it, and we're gonna see more of it as well in future tournaments. The Swiss component with top 16, the DreamHacks are doing it at the moment. So all the DreamHacks are having this kind of format.
Yeah,
it's been tried before, but it never really caught on. Either way, it's like.
It's just admin-y.
That was like a really big talk a while back, like the whole tournament format thing. So,
well,
they settled on this, but it's mostly for logistics purposes. I think.
Yeah, exactly. It's that, and I think it's just maintenance admining standpoint. And it's so hard to admin a Swiss tournament, and it takes longer just to get through it because usually each player plays 7, 8, 9. You know, like there's a lot of matches they have to play just to get through the entire Swiss bracket or just the brackets, right? Yeah. I think it's definitely interesting, and I've been an advocate. I wrote an article recently this for Splice that talked about just I wish the format or the whole Hearthstone World Championship had to do with like more of a majors approach, so that we could have different formats represent like a major. You know,
I would love that.
Yeah,
that
I feel so like that
good.
Would be
like a cool. Mm-hmm. It all kind of merges into that one big title, let's say. But it's
You can still have the points going towards BlizzCon, you know, the final tournament, but you know, just have major tournaments where, you know, the community can acknowledge them as the, you know, the big ones, and winning it for a player matters. You know what I mean? It's like and having whatever represent it, bracelets or whatever you want to call it, titles or whatever, but just some way of measuring, you know, how great, you know, a player is or what legacy a player has. And on top of that, just maybe how good they are at certain formats instead of just having, you know,
you force them into the arena and you tell them, you have to do the 110 challenge.
Well, not that. Not that. That literally could last 365
Overlord.
Days. That could literally last 365 days.
Oh, man.
They're like starving in there and shit.
No problem. You just log them up. Like, you log them up with a dog and you let them starve.
Log them up with a dog.
You're like, you'll finish this.
No, but anyways, it's cool that GT did that event. Yeah. And it sounds like they're going to be doing more. At least Lothar made it sound like they're going to be doing some more. Excited to see that. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's move on to next topic. Elky and ghosting. All right, drama, people. Yeah, drama. No.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've had some of recent memory, but like basically this is host T2.0, at least from the community's perspective. But here's the difference, and it's a really big one, okay? So he was accused of ghosting, like Life Coach, when they were playing against each other. You know, they saw the reflection in his glasses of the mulligan that happened like 15 minutes prior, or 10 minutes, whatever it was. And people were like, oh man, like he's sniping. He's totally looking at Life Coach's hand. And Hosty, what happened is, you know, Amaz panically just sent a tweet and said, God, guys, like
he's out.
Basically, he's out.
Yeah.
And in this case, it was handled, I guess, a bit slower, where basically Elky had the chance to explain himself and say, well, when I play poker, and I play a lot of poker, it's standard to be able to watch the stream unless stated explicitly. Mm-hmm. And in a nutshell, he didn't intend to cheat. You could put it that way. Mm-hmm. But now the question, I guess, that comes up is it on the player not to use the stream as a source of information, or is it on the organizers to make it so it's not possible?
Yeah, I think that's definitely the issue to discuss at this point. But Jakub, let me get your thoughts on it first, and then we'll jump into that.
The whole thing is just, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that could be controversial, but So first thing is it's basically Hosty 2.0, like a watered down version of it, because the drama was like not so through the roof. The Hosty incident, it was like the first of its kind in the Hearthstone scene.
Yeah.
So obviously pretty much everyone didn't know how to react properly, in my opinion. Archon just kind of eliminated Hosty from their team super fast.
It was like within hours. It was like hours of the
yeah, exactly.
The
it was
drama.
Just it was just instantly like that without any chance of him defending himself or whatever. But I don't think he defended himself in any way. Anyway, did he? I don't quite remember.
Hosty was basically, guys, you caught me, I'm out.
He didn't even try
to fight. He was basically acknowledging that what he did, he thought was cheating. So he, like, unlike Elky,
yeah,
I think, like,
way different.
I was gonna say Ghosty. I think Hosty knew that he was doing something that would not be taken lightly by the community. Whereas Elky, I think, legitimately didn't think about it too much.
But another thing that kind of bothers me is the whole double standard that Reddit often just shows, the hypocrisy. Like on Hosty, like for Hosty, they were just all over his ass when it came to that, and just hating on him in any way possible. And Elky, oh yeah, he didn't know. We can genuinely believe him, and he definitely is a good guy, and we should not hate on him. We should just commend him for his awesome apology. And of course, just give him the benefit of the doubt, right? Yeah. But sure, that's like it's double standard. You either do it this way or you do it the other way, but can't just go in between. Can't just have both, in my opinion. And I personally believe Elky that he just didn't know. He's a good guy, and he just didn't know better. It's true, but. Let's say you could of course inform yourself about it, about stuff like that. You could have been following the scene a little bit at least, and just inform yourself about stuff that has happened that has been similar to this, if stuff like that is allowed or not.
Well, okay, let's
use common sense.
Well, okay, so let's talk about kind of what Noxious was getting at. The question is whether ghosting is really cheating at this point, because off, like, ghosting isn't in the rule, like it's not actually in tournament rules a lot of times, right? Like
it never
I think it's just more of an honor code, you know, just the community piece of it as
fair play, right? Falls under the fair play clause,
right?
Yeah. And so tournaments, you know, at least I think one of the things that permits do that's prudent is to put delays on the streams, and I think that's just standard at this point. So tournaments have kind of taken upon themselves, just, you know, just in case or whatever, you know, to make sure it at least doesn't have a huge impact on the game, or at least the percentage of times that it could have a huge impact is reduced by a lot. So at this point, just with the events already doing this, is ghosting really even a problem at this point? I mean, should it be accepted like it is in poker? You know, like, people do that all the time in poker. I know poker, the hands are just over, so it's just more mining information about, you know, like, what some of the behavior is for the players, and not literally giving up, like, some card that they've been holding for 10, 15 minutes now. But still, just generally speaking, you know, as a question, is it really cheating at this point?
Basically, any use of, I come from a card game background, and there was the common rule at all times, any outside assistance is strictly prohibited. So you were not allowed to obviously let your friends coach you through plays and whatever.
Hearthstone's universe.
I mean, there's no question about that, but ghosts,
or like
literally
getting information about your opponent's hand by like signaling or whatever, and you were not even allowed to get notes into, like, you couldn't even bring any notes about your opponent or how to play against specific decks.
Really?
You're not supposed to come into the game with a clean slate and just everything. And in Hearthstone, like, there's a lot of stuff that you can do to abuse to abuse rules or just to get advantages in other ways, like get that outside assistance. You can ghost, as we have said. You can use deck tracker instead of like using pen and paper or whatever. You can just stuff that makes it easier or just straight up is called cheating. It would be considered as cheating.
But what do you think of that?
Draw a line, like, right? Because that's the thing is, it's all about where you draw the line between what's accepted and what's not. Like, the devs have been saying pretty openly, you know, anything you can do with pen and paper, you can do with our game. We don't really care.
Or people are also, that's also been an issue that hasn't been really talked about too much in the scene, that a lot of people are accused of sharing their screen as well, like that's
that happens way too much, dude. Like it used to,
Playing games with your friends, because two heads are better than one, right?
Three to four heads sometimes can be better than one.
And obviously, you only see one face on the cam, right? So that doesn't really help. Like that doesn't protect you from that problem. So it's just the issue with online tournaments, right? Like if the tournaments are offline, you can handle that. That's why also the prelims were in those fireside gathering areas, right? In those taverns, and because Blizzard knew that is an issue that they have to address. And this is true. This was not just a decision to emphasize the flavor of the taverns, but also just to prevent cheating from happening, right?
The question really wasn't more towards just general cheating in Hearthstone, but particularly this case, which is watching streams.
I genuinely think it's okay because it's funny because when Hosty cheated, I made probably the most controversial video I made at that point, which was cheating. Why is it a big deal? And like that was the stupidest fucking title I could have picked. And thinking back on it,
my
point was really not like the cheating is fine and everybody should like cheating. Let's all cheat each other out of fucking integrity. The point was. Like you don't prevent, and I keep bringing that point up whenever people bring up stuff like this, is like you don't prevent murder by writing a law that says you shouldn't murder people. You make it so people don't want to murder each other. Likewise, in a point like this, and this is a very extreme analogy, is if you want people not to stream snipe or ghost, you just put a longer delay. Like you find a technical fix, like bringing people over to, let's say, a tavern. That's the way you're going to fix the problem. Like you're not going to do it by telling them not to. It's just you can't enforce that rule.
Yeah.
Well, can enforce this rule. I mean, you can. You just put it.
Basically,
in the rule,
anyone right? can. Like... Basically, anyone can do it, and you cannot. You cannot prove if someone did it or not. Really, and
it's too much effort.
Reflections in the sunglasses are also or in the picture are
they're
also
probably not even admissible,
evidence.
Dude.
There's like also no enhance option or whatever in CSI Miami style. That's just not a thing. So
Wolfson playing.
Oh no! Alki's glasses are gonna get enhanced CSI style.
Oh, CSI style.
Here we go, dude.
I see.
There we go.
Oh my god.
You can't punish anyone for that because basically anyone can do it, and you can never have any hard evidence that someone did it. Unless there's physical proof that he's been doing it, like being caught in the act and whatever, like photos being released or.
Well, it's hard to prove. Like, there's probably been instances. I'm just guessing that there's been instances where people have done it and they just didn't happen to have mirrors or glasses or
anything
like that.
Happens, I'm sure, more than people realize. Yeah, the thing is, I don't like cheating. I think people I wish we didn't even have to worry about the thing. Like, I wish people actually didn't care about it. The thing is, the stakes for a lot of these players are so big. Even if it's just the name you're making for yourself in a sphere where you have to succeed, and success is the measure of your... Well, I mean, winning is the measure of your success. In that sphere, it's like, you have to be wary of people trying to cheat. And so you have to find technical ways to avoid it. And I think that's really just the crux of the matter. It's just put a longer delay. 10 minutes is not sufficient, I feel, these days. You end up seeing a lot of the whole cards.
Something I figured out in all my experience of in all the years of card games that I played is that a lot of people will do anything they can to get an edge, be it in bending the rules or just straight up breaking them. Both things I don't like personally. Like, I don't even like bending the rules, to be fair.
Rule bender.
But, Yeah, it's
new
just,
card, new card.
It's just a scummy thing to do, but you still see it very often. Be it in Hearthstone, be it in other card games, people will try anything to win because winning is what defines a player's success, right? In tournaments and many of the known players are only known because they won a tournament or two, and it's just the way you have to make a name for yourself nowadays, and especially in the open qualifier scene, a lot of people, you will see a lot of that, like people trying to bend the rules or break the rules or just screw people over because of small technicalities. You will see that a lot in open tournaments where there's a lot of unknown players just trying to make a name for themselves because they need that breakthrough performance in order to get recognized, in order to get that name on the map and get on a big team because of it or whatever, and just make a career out of Hearthstone.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's just a backstabbing environment, and I just don't like it. It's
backstabbing. Of course, I guess.
Yeah, it's just a lot of people do it on purpose. It's cutthroat.
Yeah, I think cutthroat would be better.
The backstabbing cutthroat, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally
like it. And of course, players like Elky don't have to resort to that kind of thing, which is why. I don't think Elky does it because he has accomplished so much in his life with poker.
He's fine without Hearthstone.
He needs to cheat in the Hearthstone tournament, right?
Like, yeah,
and
yeah.
A lot of people don't do that kind of stuff in invitationals. Like you have in invitationals, for example, you have all those well-known Hearthstone personalities that have made the name for themselves. They don't need to prove anything to the community anymore. Sure. By getting yet another win on their resume, so they don't have to like cheat or whatever to get that win. You can expect them to not do it, right? But there's still a lot of people doing it. Not necessarily in the known professional scene, but definitely
the smaller one, I guess, the up and comers, I guess.
Up and comers. Anyway. They have more to gain from it. So it's really a message out to all the event organizers, and I mean, it's hard to prevent all like every form of potential cheating because it's online and Hearthstone doesn't require any kind of just physical mechanics, so you know, because of that, right, it's there's more ways to abuse it, but still, you know, the event organizers I feel like still need to do like more thinking about possible ways, you know, of doing this or having their events just be as bulletproof as possible. And we still have issues. Like, we still have issues with organizers. Like, and it's been how many years now since Hearthstone? And something like this, you know, I think just the standard rules should have something about ghosting in it.
Yeah, it just has to be
the delay. The delay should be 50. There's no difference between 10 and 20 minutes, in my opinion.
No, but that's the problem you've got is, like, as an organizer, when you say make a stream that's on a 30 minutes delay, if your stream is completely jacked up and something's wrong, it's 30 minutes to reset. And that has been like a kind of a point of discussion. Because 30 minutes later, you realize your audio is completely fucked. And then that's the point where you say, oh, let's shut it down. Oh, wait, we have to wait 30 more minutes before we come back online. And that's where you start running into organization issues that mean your tournament gets zero traction. So the organizers are worried about that. And I understand why that's the case. Just, but it sucks for
us. You can check your audios before you go live. You know,
that's the theory. No. You know how that works.
I do. But I mean, some of the times that it's been the issue for me has been, I mean, yeah, there are some times where it's just like your broadcasting machine just kind of freaks out or whatever. But I mean, most of the time, it is, you know, more of a human error than it is like a technical error, right? So, I mean, you can check that. You can have your stream running 30 minutes before the thing, right? Like, you don't have to wait to start. You don't have to start the event immediately. I know what you're getting at. I just feel like, you know, people can still be preventative, you know, in that. That's not a great excuse, I guess.
A good way to prevent that thing, right? Like, one of the things that I've been saying over and over as well when it comes to at least those invitational tournaments, right? Because for big open tournaments, it's not possible. But for those kind of invitationals where this incident happened, you could just let the players pre-record their games. And
There's this whole pre-record stigma.
There's absolutely no issue with pre-recorded.
Well, it's more work. It's definitely more work, like on the organizer standpoint, right? Because they have to.
Yeah, but you prevent if that's what you want to prevent, the whole ghosting and cheating and whatever, then And also, you can play around technical difficulties with that, like because all you have to do is play back those files, and that's it.
Yeah.
And,
so Challengestone does it basically.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so there's absolutely no issue with that, and I think it's the perfect way to do it in order to like prevent cheating and also also prevents a lot of technical difficulties, like players not showing up on time and whatnot. And it's just way better to just do pre-recording instead of doing it all live.
I don't disagree with, like, from the standpoint of production and event organizers, it's a much more controlled environment for sure.
Yep.
But I think at the same time, the community outside of like Challenge Zone, I'd say like there is a sense of excitement about live, you know, events versus, you know, if people found out that it was pre-recorded.
Well, Challenge Stone got a lot of, I guess it's like the exception, as you said, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like that's more of the exception. I mean, it's probably one of the few ones that are still doing it. I remember way back when. I did it for Deck Wars, like, way back when. It wasn't, I mean, people were fine with it too back then. So, yeah,
they don't mind it as long as it's recorded in a live format. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And there's no spoilers.
Exactly. Because nobody talks about it. There's like a massive NDA.
NDA. Wow.
We're going to drop legal action on you if you don't.
Yeah, don't stream while you're playing. Don't stream on your personal stream while you're playing on the event.
Yeah, this show is pre-recorded, so we know what we're talking about.
Oh, God. Quake, someone put the screw on
exactly,
this.
Exactly, right?
Oh, crap. Where is it? We got the shoe chan, man. We're doomed.
Exactly. All right. Well, I think, why don't we take a quick break? It's been an hour. We'll take a quick break. Then we're going to go into just some talking about harassment, just in Hearthstone, you know, and generally, I think, probably in gaming. And then we'll take some questions from you guys. You can tweet your questions to ValueTownGG, and we'll try to get to them. But before we go, I just want to remind you guys, we have a Patreon for ValueTown. If you guys want to support, partake in some of the milestones and rewards that we have, you can go to ValueTown.gg. And in this break screen, you'll see a bunch of top patrons that we have, and huge thanks to those guys. But stick around. This is ValueTown, guys. This is ECOP Noxious Enchantment V. We'll be right back. Oh, man. See, that's human error, okay? That's not the actual, you know, like, technical error. That's actually human error. All right, we're back, guys. Sorry about that. I, just a little misclick there. But we're back with ValueTown. I'm Champion V. That's Noxious, and that's ECOP. And we're just about to talk about harassment, and I figure I'd talk about it again. So harassment's been a very common topic in terms of just the gaming community, and particularly notable people, celebrities in the gaming community having some issues with it. And recently we had somebody from our Hearthstone community talk a little bit more about it. Hafu did a piece with Fusion, which is a really nice piece, a video piece if you look it up. But she talked about just, I guess, all her challenges she's had as both a female gamer and just like just general streamer. Pointed out a lot of interesting points, particularly about, you know, being a female streamer / gamer in the state of streaming right now, and just generally how harassment, you know, encouragers or discouragers to do certain things right now. And that's, I think that's a concern, something we can talk about. ECOP, obviously, we've all been the target of harassment at some point. ECOP, probably more than us two here, just given, even just looking at Twitch chat right now.
Yeah.
But I figure we should talk about it in terms of our community and what we think about it. So, I don't know, Noxious, why don't you start? Because I'm sure ECOP has like a million things to say about it.
Yeah, well, that's pretty cool that he has a lot to say, because I personally haven't been harassed too much. I mean, initially, like, it happened once. There was one harassment episode, and it was very, very mild. To be honest with you, though, I feel like the topic at large is just a symptom of being a public figure. I don't mean like, oh, yeah, like I'm the president. Just, you know, the moment you expose yourself to a crowd.
Yeah,
And you're trying to be an entertainer or a professional, like an electronic athlete, like, you know, some people are pro players, they're going to get criticism. Now, the question is, like, what is harassment? And, like, what consists of harassment and what doesn't? Like, at what point does a comment that's derogatory become harassment and not just somebody disagreeing, criticizing, not liking, even if it's not done in a very diplomatic way? Like, is that harassment? What's that point? And I guess that's really the point where I can't find the line.
So defining harassment.
Depend on the person. Yeah, defining it is honestly, a really big problem for me. So
yeah,
it's honestly just up to the person that is victim of the supposed victim of harassment. It's basically up to them what they consider as being harassed, because that's their that's basically how they take the whole thing, right? If you insult different people with the same insult. Some will get more offended than others. And,
yeah, but do you have a right to be offended? Do you need a safe space?
Some will take it as harassment, some won't. It doesn't really matter what you do. And if you spam the chat with Kappa 123, some people would consider that harassment.
It's true,
as well.
Though. Some people do.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so let's start there. Let's just define what harassment is to you guys, like for each of you guys, and see if, or for all of us, and see if it is consistent. So what do you think harassment is, Noxious, for you?
I guess it's when I've made it clear that I did not want this kind of, I guess, I don't want to, it's not the word relationship,
behavior,
but I don't want to be engaged in the way that that person is engaging me to continue if I have a say in it. And if they don't like that, if they don't,
if you've expressed it,
follow this, if I've expressed it and they keep doing it, then I would consider it harassment. But that's the problem is that, you know, am I allowed not to be interacted with? Like, am I allowed to just tell everyone, guys, I need a safe space that's like, you know, three blocks large because I don't want you guys to look at me when I walk in the street? Like, at what point does it just become completely fucking ridiculous? And so I feel like you just, I can't make that call. I just don't even know what it is.
Okay, Yuka, how about you?
Yeah, well, harassment is, to me, harassment defines itself through the persistence of someone doing something that's unpleasant to the other person, even though he's been told to not do it, right? Like just the persistent obnoxiousness or whatever. Like fully knowing that the person doesn't want to be victim of that, right?
Yeah, so psychological, tormenting, right? Yeah, like you torment somebody psychologically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's similar. It has a lot to do with the frequency. Like, if somebody says one thing, I don't think that's necessarily harassment. But if they continually do it, and like Noxious said, like, if you've expressed that you don't like that, and they continually do it, I think I feel like that's harassment. At least the definition for it, for me. Okay, well, go ahead.
I don't know. I feel like I've got a question as a follow-up to that. Like, let's assume that person... you know, maintain, like, let's say it's a disagreement of opinion, right? And you express an opinion and they come out, you put it in public and they come out disagreeing with it and they, you know, call you out for it and they keep pestering you about that opinion being bullshit, even if they don't do it in the right way, right? Which happens sometimes. And you tell them, you know, to stop harassing you with this, you know, this aggressive, dismissive tone, right? You don't like it and they keep doing it and they keep doing it. They keep, you know, telling you stuff on Twitter publicly. People can see it. Now you tell them that. Now, at what point, can you call that harassment if you keep engaging the public? Like, would you have to withdraw from engaging the public to not be harassed?
You bring up a good point because I think there's a difference between, like, when you're talking about harassment, there's a difference between, like, one person doing it to you and, like, a mass of people doing it to you, right? Because with one person doing it to you, there are tools that a lot of these websites and tool, you know, just things that we use every day, like Twitter and Reddit or whatever, you know, we can actually block these people or ignore these people, and we don't actually have to listen to them, or, you know, your mods can ban them or whatever. But I think the issue is when it becomes, like, a large amount of people doing it to you, and then
it's the mob mentality.
Yuka, what are your thoughts on just, I guess,
I mean, the mob mentality is of course a big phenomenon in Twitch, especially with popular streamers, right? You just have one guy saying something funny and then everyone copy pasting it, right?
Yeah.
And sure, I think it might be funny to some people, but to the streamer, it might be offensive. And that's when it's considered harassment, especially like when everyone's spamming it or everyone just has his own variation on it. And at some point, even like the toughest individuals will budge to it, right? If it attacks them in a direct way. And sure, you can have the thickest skin ever, but in some way it will affect you.
So,
not maybe.
I have a question like regarding that point. Does that mean we have a right, like, let's say not a right, like a legal right, but do we have a right not to be offended? Like, is that what it boils down to? Because that sounds really like, I mean, I'm putting it that way because eventually that's kind of what it leads to, right? Like, I get offended by this guy or that guy. At what point am I allowed to just say that this behavior is not permissible because I don't like it?
I mean, why?
In my opinion, you have all the right in the world to offend anyone you want, right? But
that's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, I feel like it's okay to offend people because that's what we do as humans. But
You think it's I thought you were asking when do we have the right to say that
Chris, have the right to not be offended? Like, how, is that a right? Do we all have to obey?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's not really a right. I mean, we have a right not to be offended by somebody. If somebody says something negative to me, I can choose not to be offended, or I can choose to be offended, right?
No, but do you have the right to affect the infrastructure surrounding you, say Twitch? You know, do you have the right to get that person banned, or that person censored, or that person punished? Like, do we start acting on that right for you not to be offended? Because if we do, then I swear to God, everybody's just going to be censored forever and ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Ever. Like, it's over. It's just over. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm getting at. I don't get
It's a challenge, you know, right? In my opinion, everyone has the right to offend people, right? It's like the one of the beautiful things of the internet, right? Everyone on the internet is kind of that internet tough guy. When in real life, they wouldn't do anything to that person, right? We also saw in the Tafu video, right, that she has so many people trash talking her, so many people talking shit, and whenever she's on offline events,
nobody.
Would never in the slightest even like get comments like that. Hints.
That's true for a ton of people. Yeah,
nice.
Right.
And because of course nobody would do that, just because it's common sense, right? It's etiquette or whatever you want to call it. Nobody would do that, but on the internet where. Anonymous, where everyone's anonymous, kind of. It's a nice thing to have for people to vent frustrations, for example, or just as a vent for frustrations, for example. Your life is shitty. At least I can make this guy's life miserable or whatever, right?
That is a beautiful world we live in.
It's kind of a drastic way of looking at it, but a lot of people do it, honestly. And
Well, a lot of people do it, but then that leads to things like cyberbullying and like that too. So
I don't say it's a good thing, but it's like one of the things that are just natural for humankind. It's like you cannot really stop that.
So I'll say one thing, and I don't know, where you draw the line, but I feel like if you're putting yourself in the public eye, you're right not to be offended just goes out the fucking window. Because it's a weird way to put it. Don't think – it's like death threats, right? Like there's a point where you become big enough that you get death threats. It happens. Yeah. And if you start acting on every single fucking death threat, you'll never see the end. Like you'll never get out of your house. And there's a reason why people stop – even thinking about those things is because they exist. Like people just will send stupid shit on the internet, just hoping to get a reaction out of you, right? Like get you to do something. And now if you're putting yourself on the internet in a conversation, in a sphere, the moment you get offended by it, you either have the choice to withdraw from that sphere or stay in it. If you stay in it and the environment has changed to where you don't feel at ease in it, then I feel like that's your fucking problem.
Yeah.
Well, I think what you're trying to say is basically whenever you become, very popular, this is expected. Like you need to figure out a way to tolerate this because you're going to get that. And some people like Total Biscuit, right, will just, not allow any comments, right?
That's what YouTube, I would that makes and, so much sense not even, to me.
Yeah, I mean, so people have different ways, I guess, of tolerating it. To your point, I think if you become popular, it's a matter of just numbers. When you become popular, there's a lot of people that have a chance of, there's a lot of people that are going to be communicating to you in some way. So, even if it's just like 0.5%, 0.1% of your following, that's going to be a lot of people if you're just really popular, right?
Even 0.01, you need 5 assholes to keep harassing you.
Yeah,
5.
Yeah,
not even
that's right.
like...
That's right. So
you need nothing.
There's always going to be people that are going to say things, troll you and that sort of thing. And that has... if you're popular, you're just going to have a ton more people doing it to you. So the interesting thing, or I think in terms of like Hafu, is that when you get harassed, I mean, there's all kinds of different reasons to harass somebody, right?
Right.
But what about being harassed for, I guess, your gender, right? That's
gendered harassment.
Yeah. So let's talk about just females, so just female streamers, female gamers, maybe just in our space. Actually, Hearthstone is a really great topic for that because we have a lot of female streamers in Hearthstone, especially new ones that are just getting started, because Hearthstone's a very accessible game, right, in terms of starting and streaming. And so let's just be honest, right? There's no like crazy mechanics to it, so a lot more people are accessible to being a Hearthstone streamer. All right, so what are your thoughts on just, I guess, female gamers and streamers?
You mean the gendered harassment?
Yeah, gendered harassment, yeah.
So there's a weird disconnect between the public discourse of... this is going to tie into a topic I don't even like to touch on because it just starts... like, it's just a rabbit hole I don't want to get in, but...
Sure.
It's like there's a disconnect between the discourse of feminism and the reality of it, where people want equality on every single front, but they don't want equality on every single front. They want the good shit, they don't want the bad stuff. They don't want, like, I don't know, I feel like a lot of the modern Tumblr feminism bullshit that floats around the internet has infected, I guess, the hive mind, to where there's like this presumed bubble of safety that you could be in if you're a female that, you know, males can't be in. They don't want it. They don't care.
What do you mean by
you're
that?
You know, if you get criticized, then you should not be criticized. Like, you can call it out. You should be able not to get criticized for harassment because female. And that's not true of just every single streamer. You know, like, it's not streamer related or streamer specific. It's true of everybody. Like, I remember Gamergate, how that got blown out of proportion, right? Like, I don't even want to touch on the entire thing, oh, but like, man, that got blown out of proportion, and it was partially due to that. There was like a crazy disconnect happening between the discussions, and then one of the discussions that took place just went off to the fucking side, and it had to do with that, like, gendered harassment. That's basically in a nutshell, the entirety of the issue. And I don't even know if there's such a thing as an isolated bubble of discussion regarding this. Like, you could talk about it just for streamers or just for female streamers of Hearthstone. I think that's like way too narrow. It's like, it's way broader than this. So,
okay, Ecob, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, so first thing, everyone is going to get harassed on Twitch in some way. Everyone's going to have to take shit. Every public figure, basically. It doesn't matter who you are, what gender you are, what race you are. It absolutely doesn't matter. You're going to take shit in some way or another. And
But
generally speaking, the mob mentality targets, like, the mob will always find something to pick on, and it always helps if you're it makes it easier for the mob if you're like a minority of some sort, right? If you have something that sticks out because you're part of a minority in some way. And female gamers are a minority.
I wish there were more.
So obviously they're going to get targeted harder. But it's not like they are the only victims.
Saying they're the only victims, but in this particular case,
everyone can be a victim, not just the females. And it's a little bit... It's not a good thing to like think that the poor female gamers they have it so hard in this world, but really, like, they face the same problems that everyone generally has.
Yeah, dude, and I couldn't find a job with my actual real name in real life for like a year.
Harassment in general.
Oh, you mean just because of your nationality? Okay.
In general, what I want to say before as well, before we switch to the gender-specific topic, it's that as long as you're a public figure, you will have this challenge of harassment, and how you have to deal with it is up to you, right? That's what we already established. All it takes for you is to be a public figure, because you are not... because once you become the public figure, right, you are not anonymous anymore. People know who you are, and therefore you also automatically become part of a minority, because the majority is the anonymous Twitch chat or whatever platform you are on.
The mob.
Well, the vocal majority.
Beat on Twitch, beat on Facebook, beat on YouTube. You always see the chat or the comment sections with a bunch of trolls trying to trigger you every time. And it doesn't matter who you are. I get a lot of hate on Facebook and YouTube as well as on Twitch. So it doesn't matter if you're female or male or what kind of personality you have. You will always get hate.
Will get their troll comments. I can't. I won't disagree with that at all. But it's about the percentage and the volume that is dependent upon the person. Like Noxious, you told me, you don't get that much. Like you started off this whole thing conversation,
I've gotten a bit.
Yeah, but you probably don't get as much as ECOP, right?
Well, I mean, it depends how much I don't get that much I don't get that much harassment. You know, people might hate me. I might get the occasional really shitty message.
Yeah, we all get that. I mean, that's totally par for the course. You could be the nicest guy, the day nights or whoever, and you're gonna always get one of those, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the way you deal with it is just by saying I don't really give a fuck. And I don't mean that, like, even if you do give a fuck, you don't say that you give a fuck. And if it ever reaches a point where you really can't deal with it, I think removing yourself from whatever sphere it is that you're being in pain is, if the cost of being in that, you know, environment is bigger than the benefits that you get out of it, I think that's the point where you should just leave. Instead of trying to get everybody to conform to your standards of, I don't know.
That's behavior. So this is what we're talking about, the whole female thing. Because I think the female thing, you know, you're right, ECOP, it's all about just, you know, being some aspect that they can pick on and get under your skin and that sort of thing. And it usually has something to do with, you know, who you are or why you're unique in some way. And in this particular case, we're talking about gender. It could be race. You know, race is a huge one, too.
Yeah, or it could be something you've done or said or whatever. It's like
sniffing your chair.
Yeah, sniffing your chair. Yeah, sniffing your chair.
Yeah. No, but exactly. It can be anything, as long as it sticks out and it can be like picked on by a whole mob. And like, it's basically once the mob gets a hold of whatever you've done or said or whatever you are, then it's basically over. You just have that go for you.
No, but think about what you're saying though, Nox. Just when like
personally, sure, go ahead. So, put it into perspective.
Well, hold on a second. Ecop, I'll let you get to it in just a second. But just to address like what you just said there, Noxious, you know, like they should just leave it, they can't handle it. See, the issue with female gaming is that they just get it just for being a female, right? And they get a lot because I think that the general, I mean, there's a lot of the Twitch chat, vocal Twitch chat that likes to harass females. Let's just be honest, right? And that seems to be something that's prevalent on Twitch.
But it's a bigger discussion than just Twitch.
It is, but let's just talk about Twitch and streaming, just because this is our space, right? Okay, we could talk about
it. You can't.
Dude,
you really can't. It's like talking about, you know, the revenue of people who make YouTube videos and the general state of the economy related to how many people are working in that sphere because they were, you know, modifying the field that they were working in to work on YouTube. Like, you can't start ignoring people who worked elsewhere. Like, it's too broad a topic. The moment you start about talking about gender, it's just a complete... It's a rabbit hole. I don't even think you want to get into it, dude.
I mean, I agree. I agree that we gender could do, stone. Like, an entire episode on that, but...
gender stone.
Gender stone. Yeah, gender like stone. Your gender gate.
Those
gender
are my
stone.
Testicle. Gender stones. That's what I call them.
Oh, my gosh. No, but Ekal, you were going to say something before I... What were you going to say before I wanted to address that point?
Just that for me personally, the whole thing that I did on that last Value Town that I was on, right? If you remember, the whole
I remember the Trump thing. Right?
That still haunts me to this day, basically. Because,
it was such a nut. I mean,
I still to this day I get comments that I on YouTube that I, oh yeah, you're such a piece of shit because you hated on Trump on Value.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Really? Like, really, dude, really? That shit is long in the past, but yeah.
That sucks.
I mean, that sucks, right? That you still get that.
So that's what I'm talking about. Like, you just have to have done one thing, and then the mob will just, like, when it catches on to the mob, the mob will just hold it up to you for the rest of your existence, basically.
Yeah, but to your point, Noxious, I know. I just wanted to touch on it, just given that, you know, obviously it came up and it was a topic of discussion in our community this past week. But we could have like a super long rabbit hole discussion on it, but I just figured, yeah, you know, just a tiny little discussion.
Genuinely though, like, yeah, to not like start trying to try to narrow the focus. I wish we like I wish there were so many more female gamers that played competitively that it became like gays in the workplace. Right, like it took a while for like back in the days, you had if somebody was gay in the workplace like a special thing. Nowadays, I'd say the generation that we're a part of, at least where I live, of course, like I guess it depends where you live. Obviously, it's becoming more accepted, or at least it's more the norm. It's not something that you're going to get shocked by, and I'd like it to get to the same point where you just have so many female streamers or so many, you know, solid female gamers. And I mean, because Hafu, funny enough, like, I want to say she's the exception to the rule, because there's a lot of female gamers in the environment of gaming, but they're not nearly as good performance-wise as she has been. Like, I don't know how much you can just point at Hafu and say, oh, she's just, you know, getting people because she's a girl. It's not that at all. There's a combination. It might be a part of the appeal, but it's definitely not the whole thing. And so we need more competent female gamers. If you really want to get away from the whole harassment stuff, I think
it's a chicken and the egg thing, Noxious. Like, you can't have that, and you're telling people to leave if they don't, you know, like
if they can't cope. Yeah,
yeah. So it, I guess what you're saying is it takes a special.
We're waiting for someone who will suck it up. We're waiting for someone who will suck it up to get more females into this sphere.
Well, somebody that will suck it up and somebody that will rise to be like, like in Hearthstone, right? Somebody that actually wins the world championships or wins a huge event. I think it would be a huge thing, you know, and that's kind of what we're waiting for. I mean, we happen to have two female streamers that are really good at their game, right? With Eloise and Hafu, in our community. That's not that prevalent in a lot of other communities. So, Hearthstone is a game or an esport where just literally anybody, doesn't matter. I mean, I'm not going to bring up the whole gender thing, you know, when it comes to like skill and that kind of thing either, but I'm just saying like literally anybody in the world can become the best player at this. Like, you don't have, there's no physical mechanics to this or anything. So as long as you have a bright mind, you know, you can definitely become the best player here. So I think there's an opportunity. There's an opportunity in the Hearthstone space to actually make a difference with things regarding at least gender or maybe even race too. I don't think we have as big of a race issue in Hearthstone, but definitely the female thing seems to be a huge issue. So hopefully somebody out there will be able to achieve that for us. Okay, so let's move on to Q&A. We'll take some questions. Again, you can tweet ValueTownGG and we'll try to read out as many questions as we can here, but we have a few already. So let me start with Zeke Fox has a question about Ooze and Harrison. He says, do you think you should be there should be a middle ground between Ooze and Harrison? Ooze is too weak and Harrison is too good and 1600 dust.
I actually think the Ooze is perfectly fine. It only seems weak because Harrison Jones. It's great. The Ooze is amazing. Like, and I'm not even biased saying this. I think the Ooze is a great card. It's just unfortunate that Harrison Jones makes it look like dirt. And even then, some classes still prefer it. If you narrow it down to something like Handlock, where they just don't want to draw more cards than they already have.
Yeah, exactly. Ooze is perfectly fine, I feel like. It has its place in some decks, or even over Harrison, where Harrison would just be weaker because of the cost, for example. Like, who would ever want to pay 5 mana for a 5/4?
A vanilla 5/4? Depends. Does it come with taunt? Or does it insult me when it comes into play? That's all I need to know.
Does it insult me?
Is my mom a Murloc when it's played? I just want to know that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but that would be 4 mana, so that's even better. And even that in one place. So Harrison's stats sometimes just make it that you don't want to play it, and then you would prefer Ooze because Ooze has good stats for its cost.
Yeah, I'd maybe tone down Harrison a bit, but I think Ooze is good.
Yeah. Agreed. Hunter Robertson asks, how do you guys feel about a 2v2 game mode for Hearthstone? How would you format it, and what would the win condition be?
Wow.
I mean, the win, I feel like, I mean,
one hero, two hands, or heroes, 30 health.
What was the question again?
So how do you guys feel about like a 2v2 game mode? Just some kind of game mode that has 2v2. And how would you format it, and what would the win condition be? I think win condition is just killing both guys. It's either that or there's
assembling Exodia.
It's either that or there's a single avatar you protect, like a single hero you protect. But you have multiple hands. I think that...
That'd be so cool, where you have, yeah, like, this avatar in the back, and you have two heroes trying to just keep it alive.
Defend it, yeah. Defend
yeah, like think of it as, like, a MOBA in card form.
Yeah, so you'd have, like, the heroes, like, on the right and left side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you'd have the things that you're protecting, maybe top and bottom, and you still have your heroes, so you can choose whether to kill the heroes or to attack the avatar.
I'd right? like that.
Yeah,
that's
something
cool.
like that.
I think yeah, it sounds cool. like a good idea. Yeah.
That's great, man. I love that idea. I'd totally play that.
That'd be pretty cool. Let's see. Next up, Fuili asked, how do you guys feel about the current season setup and how BlizzCon points are rewarded through short seasons? Do you like the ladder system? Do you like, you know, points being given out to some events? Do you like just the system so far? What we've seen in just this first, you know, month of the, or maybe 2 months of the championship circuit or whatever?
Yeah, mm-hmm. definitely. I think it's great personally. The whole HCT system is amazing. And Blizzard should definitely keep it up. I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Noxious?
It's an improvement, I think, but it's not quite there. We've talked about this topic quite a bit before. Yeah. The whole, you know, how the way points are given and how reliant the entire ladder experience is on those last few pushes. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of sucks. But it harkens back to the problem that we had probably about tournament formats. Like the whole, mm-hmm. you know, we would like maybe Swiss, you know, if there were like an in-client Swiss system, you know, once a week, every Friday, there's like this crazy event you can attend, and that's where you start getting points. Like, I'm talking hypothetically, but like, would that be better, perhaps, instead of being just the same ladder that everybody participates on and needs to push for?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's...
I feel the same way. I mean, again, if we're talking about the format that's already been established here, I think so far it's looking good. I want to wait until at least the entire, you know, season is over, at least for this first season, just to get a look at, because, you know, this first season is almost like, I wouldn't say a test run, but, you know, all the kinks and stuff will be worked out this one. Like, they had that issue with these small tournaments, you know, some people rigging them and stuff like that. So, you know, they're fixing those issues, and we'll see some more kinks along the way. But yeah, it's hard to judge right now, but so far it's not bad. That's for sure. So, and it's a little bit better. Yeah, it's definitely better than what we had before. Okay. Arthur Kazantsev asks, do you think the rise of new players in winter prelims shows the variance in Hearthstone is too high, or the old pros just had it easy? All right, Ikov, you can take this one, buddy.
Is the variance in Hearthstone
too high, or
too high because the winter prelims showed not like a lot of newcomers?
No, yeah. I wouldn't say it's too high. I think it's perfectly fine. Yeah, the only problem though is, as I said before, is that because of the lack of innovation, the skill cap of pro and pleb doesn't really. The skill difference is not that high because everyone. It's just playing the same decks, and then it all comes down. Then when everyone is kind of on the same level, like everyone is a legend player, and when everyone's on the same level, everyone has the same decks, then it all comes down to luck, really. The play skill, that is still different because the pros on average will make less mistakes than the plebs. They will make less mistakes, but on average it doesn't compare to the amount of... it doesn't compare to the impact that luck has.
It's more like a 60-40 difference, right? And you know, you still 40% of the time could lose, you know, even if you're the better player, right? Compared to if you actually had a better deck too, which would give you a higher percentage of winning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like I said before, if during a tournament at the end of the meta, you cannot distinguish good players from bad players.
Yeah.
Right. Because of the way it's done, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, exactly. You just have to have a fresh meta in order to distinguish them, players in terms of play skill.
Yeah, at least the deck building portion, so that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. Jonathan Vale, what do you think about what do you think about a tournament with a draft arena format, like Limited in Magic?
Like Sealed?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of did one.
Kind of have that, yeah.
We had the Team Brawl, the Red Bull Team Brawl that was Team Sealed. And I thought it was great. I thought that tournament was fun, like super fun. You know, outside of the little production issues, but that was, you know, that's something that it worked out. The next time they do it, I think it'll be run very, very smooth. Yeah. I don't know, what are your thoughts, Ecom? What do you think?
I'm sorry, I've completely spaced out.
It's like the arena, the sealed format.
Yeah, what do you think about sealed format?
Sealed is amazing. You mean the one that on TempoStore.com is available?
Yeah.
On TempoStore.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's the team sealed format is actually amazing. It's been a type tested formula as well from Magic. That originated in Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
And definitely a cool thing to do in Hearthstone as well. I tried it out myself. It's very fun. I suggest everyone tries it as well. And it could be a competitive format as well, I would say.
Absolutely. The deck building is primordial.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot of variety. Just like in Arena, you will never have the same deck twice, ever. And just a lot of variety, and that's what makes it so appealing, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. So, of course, the challenge of building three decks out of a limited card pool in a limited amount of time is just
interesting. Yeah, it's cool, yeah.
It puts emphasis on creative deck building skill as well, and that's also like another factor how. To distinguish good players from bad players as well. So it can be a really competitive format if you want it to be.
Yeah, in my opinion, it could be the best representation of the most, you know, versatile Hearthstone players, like that type of format, because, when you're all nine classes are available to you, right? And a lot of times you'll have to be able to play all nine classes well, because and have a good understanding of the cards too. A lot of times, because you never know what cards are coming out, right? It's going to be heavy in one side, or at least the good cards will be heavy in one class or a few classes, and how you do that. And it's not, there's probably going to be always one class that's just not very good, right? And figure out even just how to build that one the best is going to be, it's just a challenge. You know, there's a lot of skill involved with that. So, okay, let's see. Maybe time for one more. Let's see. There's a good one. Okay, so Tommy asks if the some people are offensive and not constructive, why don't you ban them? Everybody doesn't need to have foursomes chat.
Okay, well, that's tough. because basically that's the way you end up justifying doing anything you want as a leader of anything. Like, it's broader. I mean, you can't do that. If everybody started doing this, then can you imagine the world?
Yeah. If everybody did it, then yeah, there would just be a bunch of, safe places, I guess. I mean, safe spaces, I guess.
Yeah, safe spaces. But, like, where do you stop?
I mean, there wouldn't be as much
discussion. No, I mean, it's their channel, their rules, right? You can do whatever you want there. You can block people, and you can ban as many people as you want.
Yeah.
It's your personal stream, so it's your personal space. So you can,
that's fine.
You can have any rules you want, but...
Yeah. I mean, you have to remember, guys, like, you know, some of the, you know...
Okay, was he asking, basically, like, if it's your channel, why don't you do this? Is that what he was talking about? Like, if it's your channel, why don't you put the...
Yeah, I think that's what he was saying. I think
I thought he meant, like, why don't we get, like, some kind of overarching dude banning people who are being offensive left and right? Because the way Twitch works is good. You can ban people individually and nobody cares. It's like your space.
It can be tricky, though. If it's just five people, it's easy. The five assholes of Noxious, right? But it can also be like 5,000, like in Forsen's chat. Those, right?
Yeah, but Forsen,
how do you ban 5,000 people? Do you really want to go through the trouble doing all that? It can be hard, you know.
Forsen's chat is. I mean, that's like an appeal to Forsen's chat at this point, right? I don't think Forsen actually even cares about necessarily what's in it,
Who needs to care about what's in his chat? Is like, you know what?
How could you care? I mean, you can't even watch it. You can't even keep
exactly.
up with
you
it.
Exactly.
You cannot
read the chat.
Yeah.
You
so his chat's a totally different thing. But I think generally, you know, especially with like people that don't get as many viewers, there's actual discussion with people, right, on your chat. Like, the bigger you get, the harder it is for that to happen. You know, when you get like 10,000, 20,000 Twitch viewers and you have like 2,000 people in your stream chat, it's hard to have any kind of conversation, right? So for the smaller streams that actually have conversations, then that's sometimes that's just an appeal to folks that come there, or even just the streamer itself. When that starts to deteriorate too, you know, because of trolling and that sort of thing, that's when I think, you know, you should be able to do whatever you want. I mean, just generally in your channel, you can do whatever you want, but I can totally understand it. You know, if you're not having fun streaming, then it's like, why are you streaming, right? Or if you stream just to interact with your chat and you're not having fun with that, then, you know, that a lot of times ends up resulting in people just stopping streaming. Okay, well, I think that's it for the questions. Thanks, everybody, for, tweeting your questions. We always appreciate that. That's always a big part of the show. But I think we'll wrap up the show. Ecop, you got any shout-outs? Thanks for coming on, man. It's been a long time, so it's always great having you on. And
yeah, thanks for inviting me back on the show. I really enjoyed it. Too bad Reinhard couldn't make it. I had plenty of Ecop isn't everything jokes lined up, but now I have nothing, no one to share it with. So
the last minute.
Ecop isn't everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shout out to all my fans, and shout out to my team, and yeah, thank you very much for having us again.
Cool, Noxious, how about you?
Same as usual, Tasha for the complexity, and obviously to you guys who are doing the show. Chen, we appreciate the show, it's fun. I help organize it, but honestly, you do most of the work, so...
Yeah, props. Appreciate that, man. And I'll just thank you guys for doing the show with me. And I want to thank, obviously, Tempest Storm for sponsoring the show and their sponsor, Twitch and G2A there. We have a Patreon for ValueTown, patreon.com/ValueTown if you want to pledge and support the show. That's awesome. Those people are the best and helps, you know, can help the show continue. Next week, I want to do a show either on casting or like production. I want to have Milk on the show one of these days, man. Like, because I don't think he's ever been on. Has he ever been on one of these shows or Cam? But one of these times, we're going to do something on production too. And once the cards come out, guys, you know, I know this was like a very like non card centric type of show. Once the cards come out, you can guarantee we'll have like consecutive episodes that are just talking about the meta and all that good stuff. But for now, that's going to be it for Value Town. So for Ecop, Noxious, and myself, Chan Man V, we'll see you next week. Peace.
Take care.